Well, here we are on the fourth Sunday of Advent. The candles are lit. You know, Advent is that season of preparation, trying to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. And that seems to be, like other generations, for us, it's something that we really need, this time of preparation, because it's often difficult to find time to be in the right frame of mind to become prepared for the birth of Christ personally and for the world. You know, Halloween was barely over, and sometimes even before the shelves were stocked with Christmas gifts and decorations. And then there was the Black Friday sale that was preceded by the pre-Black Friday sale that was preceded by the pre-pre-Black Friday sale that was preceded by, and then there was Cyber Monday. And it's busy, busy, busy with gifts and cards and baking. It's hard to find that time to prepare ourselves. And yet that's what the season of Advent is for. A few, a week or so ago, we celebrated a Blue Christmas service, the first one I had been to and maybe the first that some of you had attended. It was for the people who had lost loved ones. A sad time for them while everybody else seems to be happy. And so this is a time of people being filled with grief. It's also a time when people might be feeling isolated. They don't have any family, maybe unable to be with their friends. They don't feel connected. And yet Advent is a time for us, you know, to feel connected and a part of something. And so our passage of scripture this morning starts with Mary going to see Elizabeth. These two women had a lot in common. First of all, they were women, and that wasn't very high up on the social ladder of those days. It was only the men that counted, and that's why in our story of Christmas, when Caesar Augustus decided he needed to have everybody counted, everybody had to go to the town that the male person in the family was born in. Elizabeth, her husband was a priest, and he was way off in Jerusalem doing priestly things for his time there. Mary was with Joseph. But the other thing they had in common was they were pregnant. You know, one old woman, one young one. And that, for Elizabeth, before being pregnant, was a problem. See, she was an outcast. She was ostracized by the society because she didn't have any children. And in those days, if you didn't have any children, that was an obvious sign that God wasn't blessed with you. He wasn't pleased with you. And so she was looked down upon. Mary, a teenage girl getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit, is an unwed mother. And she's looked down upon, too, in her society. The two women also had angels intervene in their situation when an angel appeared to Zechariah and said that his wife, well past the years of being childbearing, was going to have a son, and his name would be John. And then there was Mary. The angel came to her and said that she would bear a son, who would be the Savior of the world. So Mary wanted to get out of town. Unwed mother. People were looking funny at her. And so she goes up to the hill country to be with Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the child within her leaps for joy. And Mary breaks out in song. Two of the most unlikely people to be a part of the salvation history and future of God, Elizabeth and Mary. Ostracized, looked down. Suddenly, they belonged to something. They found a community, each other. And they found that they were connected to something much bigger than their personal destinies. And so I kind of imagine that in that time that Mary and Elizabeth were together, there was a lot of joy and there was laughter and there was singing because they found a community in each other. They found that it didn't make any difference what pigeonhole that the society put them in. They were part of God's people, and they had a part in his salvation history and future redemption of the world that was bigger than their personal destinies. You are part of the people of God. If you're not feeling connected with anybody, if you're not feeling that you have something bigger to be involved in than your own personal history, then remember that Jesus said, to as many as received him who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become the children of God. You are part of a community, and you are part of something bigger than yourself and myself. For Jesus said to his disciples, I appointed you, just as he tells us, to go and bear fruit. For us to share our faith in Jesus Christ, to tell people about the love and the forgiveness and the mercy we have in Jesus Christ. To anybody who will listen, share it. I didn't say browbeat them. I said share the good news to the point where they might feel that they can be a part of that. And so the first lesson of today's passage that I want you to remember is that, like Mary and Elizabeth, we are part of a community. We are part of a community of faith, people who are gathered here, but beyond here, to all who confess their faith in Jesus Christ. And we're all a part of God's salvation work. We're not bystanders. We're not sitting by the wayside watching what's happening. We are involved with God as we share our faith in what he's doing and accomplishing in the world. And so I say, in Mary's song, I think there was joy, blessing, praising God, but also talked about a world turned upside down and inside out. She talks about a world that things that we count on, that we expect, are just going to be topsy-turvy. Interestingly enough, centuries later, when they started celebrating the Feast of Fools, it was patterned after Mary's song, in a sense. They acted it out. You see, the root word for incarnation is carn, meaning flesh. It's also the root word in carnival. And so the Feast of Fools just turned everything inside out. They elected a fake or false religious leader from Constantinople. They wore vestments turned inside out. They had orange peels for glasses. They did gibberish instead of proper liturgy. They even did some cross-dressing and other things. It just symbolized, and they acted out, a world turned upside down and inside out. And so when you look at Mary's song, it says that the rich, those people are going to go away empty. Those people who are hungry for new life, who are craving after peace and justice, they're going to be filled. But those people that are satisfied with the way things are, they're feeling peaceful, they think they've got all the justice they need, they don't need forgiveness, they haven't done anything, those people are going to be sent away empty. The powerful nations are going to be pulled down. Everything is topsy-turvy. And we can't leave out the church. It's part of the world, part of our institutions, and so that's going to be in there too. And so people who think they have a corner in the market, that they know the only truth of the gospel and the scriptures, or those people who have drawn circles of fellowship with people in and people out, those people that they have pigeonholed because of their wealth or their poverty or their gender or their identity or their orientation or their language or what color they are. That's going to be turned upside down too. Someone once told me, it was a pastor I had when I was growing up, that said that Jesus reserved the harshest criticism for the religious leaders of his day, and I take that to heart. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Jesus may be talking about us in some parts of our lives, and we need to confess that, and we need to change. Today, Mary's prophecy about the coming of Christ is subversive. It runs counter to everything that we know, where the things that we value will be turned on and turned upside down, where people will be sent away who thought they were filled, and they'll be hungry. Those who are empty are going to be filled. That's the coming of the Christ child. That's the prophecy. But the important thing to know today is that you are part of a community. You're a part of a group of people who love you, who celebrate God's love for you, and each one of us is committed and partnered with God in spreading that good news of the gospel. That's the good news, and that's what we need time in preparation for in Advent, to think about what Jesus Christ coming into the world means for each one of us personally. And what does it mean for a world as God's redemption history unfolds, and what partnership you have in it? Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for a community in which we can be a part of, something that calls us to something greater than ourselves. Most of all, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness, and the presence of your Holy Spirit to live out the calling that we have in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.